Recently, we began to consider and contemplate the seven deadly sins. The church has been teaching and pondering the seven deadly sins since the time of Jesus and St. Paul. You can see them in the scriptures. And when we began, a couple of weeks ago, we began with the deadly sin of anger. And today we're going to continue with the deadly sin of greed. And we're going to continue in this vein with the seven deadly sins. It's important to recall that sin is always a personal choice. Sin is simply a morally bad act. Mortal sin is fatal. Mortal sin is like suicide. You, by your own choice, by your own hand, you lose your eternal life. Because mortal sin separates us from God. Eternal life is only possible with God. There can be no eternal life separate from God, because only God is eternal. Mortal sin is fatal because it separates us from our final destiny, heaven, and our salvation. This is how we lose eternal life. It's always our personal decision. Now, the seven deadly sins include pride, gluttony, greed, lust, sloth or laziness, envy, and anger. Greed is a disordered love of the goods of the world. There's also this includes the desire for and love of riches, possessions, money, knowledge, and a disordered desire to possess. The greedy love the world more than they love God. That's the problem. When we speak of morality, we must always be careful to separate emotion from sin. God formed us with our emotions and our needs. It's natural. And it's perfectly natural for us to experience the need that we all have for personal security, for survival and personal well-being. That's natural. God made us that way. And here in Texas and the USA, we depend upon our automobiles to get around because the distances we have to cover daily are pretty big. And more in our times, we depend upon computers and internet and cell phones to interact with and function in the world, because that's the way our world works today. There's no evil in these things in themselves. We use money to facilitate our daily transactions. Money by itself is not evil. Possession of our necessities is not sinful. Can't be. There's no sin or evil in our need for security and survival in the world. But when our possessions begin to possess us, that's when we begin to have moral problems and encounter mortal danger. And when we cannot share our goods with others, for example, we begin to put our eternal life at risk. These things are our personal decisions and almost always involve pride and ego. And we can see these things if we look for them. When we review our personal priorities as mature adults, we can begin to see clearly how we have committed sins of greed. There is never any moral problem in desiring something good or even wanting a lot of it. That can't be immoral. The problem comes when we want the wrong things, or we place things, mediocre things above better things. Let me give you some analogies. If we want just any food, junk food, but not good food, would you agree with me that's wanting mediocre things in place of better things? If we want sex, but we don't want children, and we don't want commitment, there's a problem there. If we seek company, but not friendship, there's a problem there. If we seek the world, but we don't seek eternal life, then we place ourselves in moral danger for not desiring higher things and instead wanting lower things. Consider what we heard today in the gospel, in Jesus' own words. He said, "Do not be afraid any longer, little flock, for your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your belongings and give alms. Provide money bags for yourselves that do not wear out, an inexhaustible treasure in heaven that no thief can reach nor moth destroy. For where your treasure is, there also will your heart be." If your treasure is your money, then your heart is in your pocket. If you want the treasures of heaven, we must make decisions and place those treasures above worldly goods. And if we love the world more than God, then we cannot have eternal life. We will not see heaven. That's the way it works. In last week's gospel, we heard Jesus present a parable about a rich man who had a big harvest. It was bigger than he could store, and he didn't have barns big enough to save it. So what he did, he decided there on the spot that he was going to tear down his big barns and build bigger ones so he could have so many good things stored up for so many years, and he could rest, eat, drink, and be merry. That was his decision. Here was God's response. "You fool, this night your life will be demanded of you, and the things you prepared, to whom will they belong? Thus it will be for all who store up treasure for themselves, but are not rich in what matters to God. For each one of the seven deadly sins, there exists a virtue, an opposite behavior to counter the greed. Counter the deadly sin. For the sin of greed, we have the virtue of generosity. And when we experience the temptation with greed, we're able to choose acts of generosity to counter the deadly sin. This is moral, spiritual combat. You see the enemy, you pick up the weapon you need. Generosity is the weapon you need. And we should plan our spiritual battles and make generosity our plan of life. Now, we all have to pay monthly for rent, right? We have to pay for electricity, water, food. Isn't this normal? We all have to do it. However, we put our eternal life at great risk when we allow ourselves to believe that what we have is ours alone, and we fail to see that all we have comes from God. We place our souls at risk when we practice our almsgiving and tithing stingily from our excess, from what's left over after we've taken care of ourselves and satisfied ourselves and paid our personal expenses. And if we're that short-sighted, we show how little we consider God or the poor or others by not anticipating generosity for God and his people and the church and the poor. That practice demonstrates for all to see, for us to see, a lack of generosity. The Bible speaks often of giving God our first fruits, like the first part of the harvest. One way to put God first in our lives is to anticipate our generosity, plan to share weekly and monthly from our first fruits with tithing and alms. And don't just give to God what you earn on Friday afternoon, but set aside his portion from what you earn first on Monday morning. You get what's left over, not God getting the pieces that are left over. Another example of generosity with God and his prince is never to miss Mass. That's part of our relationship with God, starting off the week with him. Never miss Mass, never miss confession. Another is to plan our ministry within the community. How are we going to serve our neighbors? Many only serve begrudgingly, and I love the ministries here. I particularly love the ministries of our adult and youth altar servers. The adult altar servers demonstrate their spirit of being servants by selflessly coming weekly to training and formation. Wow, that's a commitment. And they help us priests not only by covering all the masses and helping us get set and plan it, but they also come and help us with the weddings and the quinceañeras and the funerals. That's sharing. That's generous. They serve with their hearts and their example, and they show their spiritual maturity with their service. We need more to serve like them. So far, we have 9 adult altar servers in this group. We meet regularly. We pray the Liturgy of the Hours together. So far, we only have volunteers from the Hispanic community, and no one has come forward from the English-speaking part of our parish. Generosity. It's an example of our spiritual maturity. We help our children grow in charity by our examples of generosity. In childhood, it's natural for a child to be very, very selfish with his or her possessions, their toys. And you hear children say, "It's mine! It's mine!" and come crying to their parents if somebody takes their toy. And we watch them grow. We watch them mature. And when we observe a child saying to a brother or sister or a cousin or a friend, "Here, it's mine, but I want you to be able to play with it," you have to sit back and applaud and say, "Wow, thank you, God. This child is growing in generosity." It's a mature growing that we see happening. Don't commit the deadly sin of greed. Be generous. Grow in generosity. Listen to the words of Jesus when he says, "Sell your belongings and give alms. Provide money bags for yourself that do not wear out, an inexhaustible treasure in heaven."